May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 608. Ye souls redeemed with blood and called by grace divine, walk worthy of your God and let your conduct shine. Keep Christ your living head in view in all you say, in all you do. Hymn 608.
Let us read together, firstly, from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, commencing at verse 11. Read to the end of the chapter. Then a few verses in Galatians chapter 4. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, excuse me. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, no, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time at thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And I trust the words will follow on a little in Galatians chapter 4, just a few verses. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors, and the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Albeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labour in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you. At the first, now we leave the reading of God's own word there. Amen. O Lord, do help our infirmities. Grant our sins may be subdued. Lord, our poverty is great. We are very poor in the things of God. We do need thee, Lord, to remember us in thy great mercy. Lord, we do believe it doesn't need many, many words. Oh, do come and help us and deliver us and forgive and cleanse us from all our sin and unworthiness. We do seek, Lord, that as we come, we may not come out of custom only, it is a good custom, but we want more than that. Or we would see Jesus. We do seek, Lord, that thou art come where poor sinners are. Thus we may see thee by faith. Lord, we pray that thou art remember us as we gather together. We come seeking one of those gatherings unto him that might be remembered. Grant, O Lord, that thou art come with all thy precious truth and thy cleansing blood, and grant us, Lord, those merits of the Lord Jesus to be granted to us, that we may feel the power of thy grace and the cleansing away of sin, to be delivered. And grant us, Lord, we pray, To be able to know a little of that robe of righteousness all around us, so we would not cleave, Lord, to our own works, our own deeds, our own goodness. Lord, it is nothing worth, that we would see Jesus in that robe of righteousness and know, Lord, application of the dear Lord Jesus to us, Lord, that we may feel cleansing away of sin and be able to walk at liberty. We do pray that thou wilt gather us around thy word. It is thy appointed means of grace that's appointed, Lord, such a gathering. And thou hast promised to be, even in the midst. For this, Lord, we do pray that we may be gathered out of the world, and the world without and the world within. And grant, O Lord, we may be delivered from those carking cares, the things, Lord, that press so heavily upon us. Lord, those many things that seem to be those burdens increasing. Lord, we do need the burden bearer. Need thee, Lord, to come and grant to us the very person of the Lord Jesus. Lord, do remember any that are bowed down. Remember those, Lord, that would seek for those renewings of thy love, lest they should be confined and left to their fears, to be amongst those that know thee not. For any, Lord, that are sorely tried because they cannot find their signs and need thee, Lord, to come and direct them again. Lord, we do need the blessed Spirit to direct us continually, especially in thy word. We want things, Lord, to be applied and granted, Lord, to our souls, but maybe not just rest as if these things are all outside us, which they are, but we want to have that living faith and that going out unto him and that renewing of our souls. We need thee, Lord, to remember us lest we should settle short. And do remember, Lord, seekers. Do grant they may be finders of that pearl of great price and even of the golden wedge of Ophir. And Lord, we do seek that thou wilt remember the oppressed. Remember those, Lord, that we bring to thee in afflictions. We desire, Lord, by thy gracious help to bear before thee our dear aged friend. We do seek, O Lord, wilt draw near and grant that precious grace to be known in all of our hearts. But we commit and commend our friend that unto the Good Shepherd thou knowest. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember the others that we lay at thy feet. We seek, Lord, that thou help us this evening to come and to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Remember the deacons and be round about them continually. And do remember us as we come amongst the friends and may we be able to dip our foot in oil, be made acceptable unto the brethren. So we pray, Lord, that thou would remember us, those that gathered now and others unable to be here. We do seek, Lord, that thou help us. For, Lord, we seem to need thee in life's journey. We need thee, Lord, to guide us in thy word concerning all things. So, Lord, may we not come in vain. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. pilgrim through this barren land. How weak we are, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Lord, remember those that perhaps need thee to come and grant to them a word in season. Those that have called upon thee, Lord, believing thy word is not bound, but can it reach them? So, Lord, do remember the poor. Remember those, Lord, that come and seek for some of those sweet tokens for good. Lord, remember our poor land, and still arise, Lord, for our deliverance. May the Lord make bare his mighty arm, scatter the works and schemes and designs of thee, those that dwell in darkness. Do arise for our help. Lord, we do pray that not only may we know that deliverance, but unto deliverance unto the greater knowledge of thy word in our land, in high places. We pray that our Prime Minister may be able to stand and do grant, Lord, to our Sovereign too, that help of God, that we do need thee to arise in this dark day. Thou art not short, but Lord, we pray, thou hear us, thou knowest all things, to grant a settled peace in troubled parts. And grant, O Lord, now that thou art come and remember us, for our desires are full of sin and we are so poor. We ask that thou art come, Lord, and grant thy grace and the blessed Spirit to hand our petitions, oh, before the great throne of God, that with those perfect, sacred merits of the dear Redeemer, thus may the Lord himself stand above it, above all our desires and this little service. Come, Lord, and remember us from on high, for we need it. And do remember any, Lord, that may feel left out. Do grant that there may be a sweet flowing together. And that thou wilt come, Lord, exceed our poor prayers. Do come, Lord, and grant to us thy grace, but he giveth more grace. So we would come and pray that thou wilt yet cover all. And receive us graciously. Forgive all amiss. Nice Lord, we desire that thou art hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive for Jesus' sake. Amen.
In 773, if unbelief's that sin accursed, abhorred by God above, because of all opposers worst, it fights against his love. How shall a heart that doubts like mine, dismayed at every breath, pretend to live the life divine, or fight the fight of faith? Hymn 773.
feeling so much my need of the Lord's gracious help. I must direct you to the word that came upon my mind this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the 24th chapter, the Gospel according to St. Luke. We direct you to the well-known word in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We read the first, the previous verses, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He seemed to be directed to these words without any real thought or understanding to ourselves what the Lord's will and purpose may be, directing us, we hope, this evening. It is a very well-known part of God's word, but how we need the sweet truth contained in these verses. I thought especially of the words here concerning the coming of the Lord himself. Jesus himself drew near. Oh, what depths of sweet truth and divinity lay in those words, sum and substance of the gospel. Where would we be if it had not been so? If the Lord had not left those realms, eternal realms of bliss, and came down to be a servant, to fulfill his Father's will, and to put his own sweet merits to all that work given to him, that thus God should dwell with man. I was thinking of these things this morning, then there's something came on my mind I've never thought of before, and I felt some leading in it. In these words we read, they communed together and reasoned, and Jesus himself drew near. My mind seemed to be directed to these words here, and they reason. Now, I can only go as far as the Lord may lead, one so poor. But it struck me, well, those carnal reasonings, you know, those earthly reasonings, poor nature's reasonings, and perhaps it's spoken of here especially, when these hearts were so low and they reason together. We read the Lord speaks of it here and said, what manner of communications or reasons are these that you have one to another as you walk? And I said, well, that's one part of it. A very good part to those that need the Lord to draw near. All the reasonings of our poor carnal heart and the ways in which the mind and heart is going astray, but for God's grace continually, those earthly carnal reasoning often bring us low. That's one part of it, friends. The other part that seems to be upon my mind, and that is the reasonings of faith. And the ways in which the Lord speaks of that faith granted to reason, not in a carnal way, but to plead. worthy, precious name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that not the subject of faith? It's that reasoning in a godly, gracious way, isn't it? The hymn writer says, if free grace, why not for me? That's a reason of faith, isn't it? I want to be clear about it. We cannot at all give ourselves any reasonings of faith, but the Lord works it. Now, this is how it struck me. There'll be those that say, well, if only the Lord would grant me everything that I need, that I might know that I'm truly a child of God, and there's that desire that everything might be brought and everything presented to a poor sinner so that he has everything he wants. Well, my Bible friend speaks of God dealing with his people. So the reasonings of their heart and soul by faith are going out to him, seeking hard after the Lord, not in some unholy way. Is it not, friends, true that the Lord draws near and grants that sweet reason of faith many places in the scripture where in a godly, gracious, humble way souls are directed by the blessed Spirit into the word of truth, and there's a sweet light upon the word. There's a sweet knowledge. I would know it more of the very person of the Lord Jesus. And that seeking to be hastening unto him. I think we've sung, my thoughts were in the truth of it, not being cast, and not being turned aside, and living as we ought. Well, it's by faith, isn't it? Now, the exercised child of God feels to be so poor. He may be left to his poor slavish fears and the reasonings of old nature. Friends, I believe God leads his people on and directs them by faith. Sometimes like a grain of mustard seed. Sometimes very, very small, but is there not a going out unto the Lord, coming up to his house, seeking there might be something for the poor and the needy? Feel so poor, I wonder if they could ever be noticed. And there's that reasoning in this humble way. Well, the Lord that blesses his people, such and such a one that you know and love, that you can go with them in many things, and they speak of the Lord's gentle dealings, or the Lord granting those answers of peace, sometimes over many, many years or many trials. Now, friends, if I'm right, the Lord leads his people so that they are brought to reason by faith. It's God's work. It's living faith that reasons, isn't it? Not by the works of nature, but as much as Jesus draws near and grants that help to call upon him. What is it? A great desire of the heart is for mercy, isn't it? We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yet there's a sweet word that sums it up. I can only go as much as the Lord might help me. This is how my mind seems to be led. I cannot account why at all. I thought of these reasons in a gospel sense. Now, in the first chapter of Isaiah, that's a beautiful part, isn't it? The Lord Jesus has revealed so much. The gospel in Isaiah, what do we read? Come now. And let us reason together. There's such a depth of truth in that. The Most High bidding his dear people to come, no matter how great their load of sin, or their unworthiness, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What a good reason. The Lord speaks of as he draws near. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's much gospel in it. I don't think I need to emphasise, friends, I don't advocate any free will or anything of the creature whatsoever. If we've got living faith, there'll be times when it goes out unto him. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, with the reproaches of the Lamb. Now that's good divinity. It's the reasonings of living faith in a poor sinner's heart. It's not toward the world, is it? Things of it. It's toward the God of heaven, the God of all grace. Would to God we might know a little of the Lord reasoning with us by his sweet grace to move our hearts toward him in his truth. Especially as we come up to the worship of his name, it's not just to be gathered, is it? It's quite right, but there's that desire. The Lord to draw near. And to plead his name. Is it not for Jesus' sake? Is that the grounds of your desire for Christ's sake? That's good reasoning. I speak very, very soberly. It's what God grants to his people and leads them on like that. I do not say that the Lord doesn't grant that full assurance of faith. Well, I believe he does. But sometimes there may be some that say they're too poor. The Lord. You know, there's a sweet hymn. We've sung it. We were over there just a little while ago. And that hymn 781 was sung. You know that hymn where it speaks of, come my soul, let us try for a little season, every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason. What is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak, let the worst be known, speaking may relieve thee. And I was thinking this morning of him, I had to look it up. Now, often enough in that hymn, there are those great big objections and trials of faith. Oh, I sink beneath the load of my nature's evil, full of enmity to God. Well, that's something, isn't it? To know. And then, in that hymn, let me just try and clear myself. It's like a soliloquy, isn't it? And there's this reasoning in the soul. Jesus' precious blood once spilt, I depend on solely to release and clear my guilt, but I would be holy. I don't preach the hymn book, friends, here, but I just want to try and bring my thoughts to you. How it is so in a living heart that they do live upon the Word and need the Lord, and sometimes faith is lifted up a little, and there's a sweet going, perhaps in a line of a hymn, in the word preached, when there is that little increase of faith and hope and love. We don't say the clouds don't return. The unbelief that we have sung off is known so much, but does he draw near in his word? Does the Lord come where poor sinners are and grants that abundance of grace which in the fountainhead, isn't it? He giveth more grace. And how the Lord is lifted up by living faith, isn't he? And he is exceedingly precious. Well, that is how it seemed to open up to me. I thought I'll have to try and speak from this text. There's so much of Christ in it. And also of the truth of living faith. And it is especially the encouragement of those that seek for that, for the Lord to grant a token that he is with them. And these hearts, as we think of the account, were so cast down. Of course, we've often spoke of it, how they seem to be so unable to consider the Lord and his word and his promises. But still he drew near. Is that not like the Lord's people? Still, friends, he draws near. Would to God there might be that increase of that knowledge of him. Poor, humble souls. I mean living souls, not dead ones. Dead ones just go on and on. They're unchanged and they say everything must come to them. They can do nothing, and that's the sum of it. So that's very, very solemn ground indeed. There's no reason of faith in it, is there? Or pleading his name. Or looking again unto him with dear Elijah. And there's so many characters that we thought of where this reasoning was in their hearts. They had to venture unto him. Now, there's one especially in that chapter. That is why we read it together. Thought about it. The Lord speaks of this younger son. Soon he had gone from his father's house. And he sought to fill his belly with the husks, but it didn't suffice. But in that account, the younger, he gathered quickly all together. And he went off into a far country. We know the account. He said to his father, divide the living. He went off, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, it wasn't long, friends, we read of this reasoning, when he began to be in want. May it be an encouragement. I think of those that feel to be so much in want. It's a good account, isn't it? Because the dear man here, young man perhaps, we may speak of him. He joined himself to a citizen of that country and so on. When he came to himself, because soon he came to these words, let me try and direct you. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Now, that was reasoning in a gracious way. The Lord was the author of it. And he was brought in his great need to look again into his father's house. Very sweet truth to me. And the Lord was the author of it, surely, in this great parable of repentance. That's how it works. In a poor sinner's heart. And there is that reasoning of having to go back. Not on high grounds, but lowly grounds. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, that's what grace does. Make me as one of thy hired servants, one of those that are least, to be but in his father's house. And he arose and came to his father. It's a very sweet account. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. But he reasoned after a gracious sense. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. So mercy, friends, if we are brought like that prodigal son to come to ourselves by grace, and to have to turn our steps. And friends, what a casting off there is then. And that desire in the heart gets greater. Oh, for forgiveness, acceptance, the Lord to remember us. Well, for such, friends, the gospel is preached. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Oh, the Lord grant that sweet word in many troubled hearts. The best robe. Is it not the robe of imputed righteousness? Indeed, was it not to be cast all around and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet? Well, it's to a character, isn't it? It's to one that was truly in want and hardly dared return, except it be on the grounds of forgiveness, except it be on account of mercy. Well, the account is very much my mind and my thoughts really have gone out in that way. While they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But I must come then to this word, especially in the spirit of the gospel. It struck me this morning, what a beautiful word it is concerning the coming of the dear Redeemer, the Christ of God, Jesus himself drew near. Well, really, friends, that's just what poor guilty souls need. The Lord himself to draw near. There's so much in himself. Let me direct you to my thought about it. It was the Father's loving, glorious provision in the Godhead, but it needed himself. Scriptures bear me out. Who will go for me? He said, here am I, send me. Oh, himself. And then the account really, the word speaks of himself taking our infirmities and dwelling among poor sinners himself. No angel was good enough. And truly, that holy law, in all its purity and in all its holiness, could not draw near. No, it rather condemns. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Know how there is there for a poor sinner with faith in their hearts, seeking for that increase. No, the law will consume and burn up everything but for Christ himself, the sinner's friend. No, just to speak of it a little, really it is of an eternal heavenly nature. Himself drew near. While men are satisfied with things of a lower earth, may our hearts be up to the Lord for those things which are eternal, the sending, the appointing, the condescending, the dear Redeemer, in the truth of his word and in the power of his grace to this poor sin-cursed earth. But you know, it's to those given by the Father unto himself to redeem. Be ever so clear about it. Some may say, well, there it is. All you have to do is agree with it. Not so. It needs himself. The Father's first elect. Or the child of God in, with the Lord's work in their heart, may... No need to fear of election, no. It shuts in, doesn't it? It doesn't shut out. When Jesus draws near. And then it seems to me that when himself draws near into the sweetness of it, he came as that lowly babe of Bethlehem, laid in that humble place. There was no room for him in the inn. Of course, it means this, he was not welcome there. But in a poor sinner's heart, the Lord makes room. And himself makes room. And the Lord Jesus is that one that will bring a seed unto the Father, complete in him, without spot, blemish, or any such thing. Oh, for that grace, friends, to be poor enough for his coming. Many sweet hymns that we often sing at the time of the Advent, and there's much gospel in them. Now, I think we may say it's because there's so much of himself. Oh, the wonders of redeeming love. And great is the riches of the Father's love. But then there is the love of the Son to his people, so that he would die in their place. That's love. The gospel speaks of it very, very sweetly. My sheep, I lay down my life for the sheep. None can take it away. Really, it's himself. And if we've got as much religion as that, I believe it'll be well. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, it's when himself takes up the cause of his people. Is there anything too hard for him? When he sweetly condescends to the poor and the needy. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. When he draws near, now let me put it in effectual working. Friends, the Lord conquers hard hearts, rebellious hearts. We've thought of it in the gospel with the prodigal son. Whatever means, he will use. It's good divinity, isn't it? The Lord will have many, many ways, but they're all good ways to bring his people to cry for mercy and to lay at his dear feet. But you know, I've often said it needs a heart upright. I think you've been singing of it. But it needs himself in the heart, the hope of glory. Not a pretense. It needs the Lord himself in all the wonders of his grace to take up his habitation in the poor sinner's heart. Let's be clear. There will be those signs and those fruits. And there will be those evidences of true humility. And seeking for that repentance which the Lord gives, but to be sorry for our sins in a gracious, humble way, because it's himself that we have sinned against. And then perhaps we may speak of it like this, or the wonders of himself in the sinner's place. It came to it over those few short years, but soon he came to Gethsemane. And oh, how himself was prostrated, anointed to suffer and knew the greatness of his Father's law and what he must endure. But there was a sufficiency in himself. But our sufficiency is of God. Oh, it is that sweet sufficiency of the Lord Jesus for the sins of his people, their guilt, their ruin. Do you know something must be known and felt? Now I think of it himself in this way, that he took Zion's guilt and sin and condemnation unto himself. That's what love has done. And the Father's appointed this one that should suffer, bleed and die. There was no other good enough. And then he came himself. Now, there's a certainty in it. A sweet truth in it. Friends, he would suffer and bleed and die and to redeem a people from the from guilt and sin by the virtue of himself. Now, that virtue was known in his life and his miracles, but especially in his precious blood. And I think of it in this way, that there is in himself that fullness. We have it in John. So wonderfully set forth in that word, the first few chapters. and of his fullness. Of all we receive that is Jew and Gentile, and all of the Church of Christ given unto him shall know of this fullness and sufficiency for sin and guilt, and there is a sufficiency of pardon. Now what it doesn't mean, friends, is poor sinners to think they have got something worthy in themselves. The worthiness is in himself. The Lord Jesus, the friend of sinners. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that is the sweet truth of it regarding the doctrine, and the wonderful truth of it in the coming of the dear Redeemer, in all the wondrous grace of it. Now there's something else. It's a living gospel. Though he is risen, yet his gospel will be proclaimed to the end of time, and there is a sweet sufficiency in it for the poor and the needy and those that glean, like Ruth in the fields of the gospel. Now how the Lord's people need it in their lives, in their circumstances. How it needs himself to draw near. We find it to be so. And it really speaks of that great appearing of the Lord for his people in the greatest of their troubles and trials, disappointments and afflictions, adversities. It needs himself. As we go on, I believe it is true, the Lord acquaints his people more and more with the need of himself. It needs the Lord himself to touch hearts, or else they'll be untouched, rest short, be quite able to say, well, I can do nothing, and I've done my best, or friends, it needs the Lord himself to deliver from that iron yoke, the spirit of it, when we have it in our own heart. But you know, it's himself, isn't it, that glorious person, to conquer and to save unto the uttermost. All that come unto God by him, there's much in that word of that venturing by faith, and the truth of it, of living faith, and going unto Joseph, heavenly Joseph, that I'll go and seek to plead that name. If so be, there may be hope. That's good reasoning. And to fall down at the feet of the Lamb, there to come and seek that mercy might abound, that it might meet the poor sinner's need. Let me speak of himself in the sinner's place, all that true majesty and glory of it, clothed in a body like our own. That's a good word, isn't it, in Galatians. This much following on, that's an account of that prodigal. Let me just direct you to the word of it. but when the fullness of the time was come, himself was made known. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. That's the great work of it. The greatest of all his works, if I might say very carefully. What miracles, but redemption. From the curse of a broken law, to redeem, to purchase, to bring back, to pardon, to cleanse, to redeem, that they should never, never be lost. Well, Jesus can save, to redeem them that were or are under the law, to receive the adoption of sons. Now there's another aspect of it, and that is when he does appear, Jesus himself, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. And what do we read? He went with them. And I believe that is the great desire of those that are truly exercised and brought unto the church of God, that he might go with them. I think we sung a few things about it, not to offend and not to be in any other position but that way of lowliness and that desire to walk humbly. And he went with them. No, it's not for their works, their goodness, their merit, but friends, it's grace, isn't it? That grace should overtake them when they're swallowed up in unbelief. Grace to abound to those that feel to be at the end of all things. And it's a wonderful part, isn't it, when he went with them. Now, a simple thought is this, friends. Thus is his glorious character. Thus is the mercy of God to go with his dear people and to direct them and to be with them as that good shepherd and to go before them too and to make their way clear and to take up stumbling blocks and to grant more knowledge of his holiness and majesty, and then a revealing of the truth of his salvation, that those sinners, yet they cannot sin against redeeming love, or cannot be cast away. He went with them. Lastly, I think of it with regard to the Lord bringing his people unto their desired haven. Does he not go with them through life's journey? Does he not make himself known? Does not the Lord sometimes look through the lattice? Does he not grant that sweet smile of his face and that knowledge that their Redeemer liveth? Does he not manage things for them? Does he not undertake for them? We've spoken of Hezekiah when he said, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Well, the Lord undertakes for his people. He brings them through. But you know, it does need that truth of his grace to cause a poor sinner to lean upon him and to cast themselves upon him, and to be ready to give an account. But also to be often confessing their sin and acknowledging that they are in need of his mercy, or for that to abound, the Lord to appear, perhaps in things also in the church. We, of course, have our own things as well as you, but what I mean is this, there are some things we need the Lord to do. Rejoice our hearts, the Lord to bring some out of prison, and to grant the knowledge of himself, and to show himself as he does not unto the world. Are these not the burdens that belong to the church of God? For himself to appear, the Lord to arise, the Lord to come, the Lord to be with his church in the wilderness, the Lord to raise up those who are appointed to carry burdens. No, the spirit of the day is this: well, we don't want to carry any burdens at all. It's not for us. But if the fear of God's in your heart and the love of Christ is in exercise, it'll be different. It will be for love's sake. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now there is much unsaid, and we fail to be so poor. We ask the Lord's mercy and blessing upon his word. Amen.
Lord willing, Mr. Izzard will preach again next Lord's Day, and there'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field will preach on Tuesday evening, and the members hope to meet for prayer on Friday evening this week. Let us close with hymn 353. Mistaken men may brawl against the grace of God and threat with final fall the purchase of his blood, but though they own the Saviour's name, from him such gospel never came. Hymn 353.
O Lord, to forgive all spoken amiss. I do grant that Jesus may draw near and go with us to bring us to know it is the Lord, that thou wilt be with us in every burden and care. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.